The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Dak and Dallas and the really startling news about the state of their talks the day before the deadline. We've got it right off the top. Then, why one of Cam's former teammates says he's terrified by the QB's collaboration with Bill Belichick. And if I told you a non-quarterback was going to be the MVP, who would you tell me it was going to be? The polls are open. It's time to get up. Starting right now. Bright and early on a Tuesday from Bristol, Connecticut. Mike Greenberg here. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. The poll question is coming up this morning, and I, unfortunately, am going to have to tell you why practically everybody voting on it has it absolutely wrong. But here's where I want to begin. If we're going to get up this early, we are going to bring you all kinds of NFL insight and acumen. Look at my squad today. Lewis, Marcus, Shefty, and Dan, all ready to go on a very important day in the NFL, because we're a day away from the deadline for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys to come to terms on a long-term deal. July 15th is the deadline. That's tomorrow afternoon. Dak has signed the club's franchise tender, as you know. But with Patrick Mahomes signing his contract last week, is Dak the next quarterback to get a deal done? Shefty, we start with you. Again, a day away from the deadline. Where do we stand as far as conversations between the Cowboys and Dak?
Well, Greeny, as Todd Archer, the ESPN Nation reporter in Dallas, reported yesterday, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have not had any scheduled talks this weekend. There's nothing scheduled before tomorrow's 4 p.m. Eastern deadline to get a long-term deal done for Dak Prescott. And if the two sides cannot reach an agreement by 4 p.m. Eastern Wednesday, that's it. We will not have any of the conversation that filled all last year about whether or not the Dallas Cowboys should reward Dak Prescott, because he can't sign an extension after 4 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. This has been, in my mind, the quietest period leading up to the franchise deadline, long-term deadline signing day that we've ever seen in the NFL. And it's partly due to the pandemic, because teams are unsure of the financial uncertainty, and that impacts Dak Prescott. Even he is not immune to it, but again, there's still the standoff that has existed between these two sides. It's not helped by what's going on in the country at this point in time, and it doesn't appear right now as if these two sides are any closer to an agreement than they've been in previous weeks or months.
Okay, so I get that part of it. Let me bring the crew in here to continue the conversation, because I understand the coronavirus having an impact on signing. It doesn't have an impact on talking. Lewis Riddick, I'll start with you. As a front office executive, what should we take from the fact that the two sides aren't even talking?
Well, I think, Greeny, what it tells you is the fact that they're both comfortable with where they're at as far as their negotiating position. For Dak Prescott, look, he may be looking at it in the same way that Kirk Cousins looked at it starting all the way back in 2016. Look, Dak Prescott, if he played on two franchise tags this year and next year, he would earn more cash money, cash in his pocket, than any other player in the NFL right now. He would earn close to $70 million over those 2 years. Now, obviously, that comes with a certain amount of risk in terms of not having the long team guaranteed money at signing in his pocket that most guys want at this point in time, but he's comfortable with that. Dallas obviously is saying this: look, we're not budging on the 5 years we want. We're not giving you 4 years. Obviously, they're going to try and use however they can the contract that Pat Mahomes signed with Kansas City against Dak, and saying, look at the kind of financial certainty in these uncertain times that Pat Mahomes gave the Kansas City Chiefs. He didn't have a problem signing 10 more years on top of the 2 years that he already has left and giving them 12 years of financial certainty. Why can't you do that for us? I can't absolutely say for certain that's what they're telling him, but I could bet that that's probably part of their position as to why they are not backing off the 5 years that they want for him. And right now, when teams get dug in like this, this is what happens. Dak signed his franchise tender. He's going to pay for the $31 million. Maybe he tries to play this game again next year, and he's saying, hey, look, $69.1 million, that doesn't sound too bad in 2 years.
You know what? The player who in the NFL who has made the most money of any in the last 5 seasons is Kirk Cousins. And if that rings a bell, it should, because that could be the route that Dak Prescott is about to take. So Marcus, as the former Cowboy in this conversation, I would ask you, has your former team misplayed this situation?
Yes, they have, G. And look, listen, let's get down to the crux of this situation. You don't find good quarterbacks falling off trees. And that's been my point at the beginning. Listen, we've had all of the conversation about how much should the annual salary be? How much should they commit to Dak Prescott? Dak Prescott is a good quarterback, with the possibility of playing at a very high elite level as his career progresses. So, yes, it's surprising to me, number one, that they couldn't get this done. But I also feel like Dallas is in a spot right now where they will regret not signing Dak Prescott, not getting this done. And I understand the times. I understand the financial ramifications that's going on. Other people are getting it done with contracts with other players, i.e. Dallas. Everybody else has been signed to a long-term deal. I don't know where this relationship goes. I mean, Lou has been in the front office. He understands how this thing navigates and plays. I know we want to say when you finally get to the number and everybody agrees, everything goes back to normal. But this is just one of those isolated situations that I'm going to say, as I've continued to say, you do not play games with your so-called franchise quarterback and getting him under contract.
I think everyone gets that. But Dan Orlovsky, we have literally been having this conversation for a year, and it was a year ago you said on this show, teams get in trouble by paying good players great player money. So with that thought in mind, what is Dak Prescott? Is he a good quarterback or is he a great one?
No, Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. He has not been great. And I think that's the center of the contract and negotiations is when I need you to be your best, have you been your best? And Dak and his agent can't answer that question as a yes to the Dallas Cowboys, Greeny. He's been a good player, but when you look back at last year, because everyone's talked about the numbers and it's his best season, I would say a lot of those numbers are very hollow. He led the NFL in touchdowns against bad teams. Let's see what he did against good teams, against top 10 defenses last year, Greeny. In the contract season, they were 0-5. He threw 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Last year, they had 9 possessions, okay? 5 playoff teams. They had 9 possessions in the fourth quarter where they have the opportunity to tie the game or take the lead. They went 0-9. In those 9 possessions, they kicked 2 field goals. The only other team to perform that bad with that amount of possessions was the 2017 Browns that didn't win a game. And Greeny, it's not just tied to last year. In the last 2 seasons, right? In the last 2 years, when the Cowboys play a playoff team, which is what you're paying great quarterbacks to do, be your best against playoff teams, Dak has more turnovers than touchdowns. Last year, when you look at the quarterbacks that played the best against top 10 defense, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Russell Wilson, it's Deshaun Watson, it's Drew Brees, it's Carson Wentz. Dak's not up there. And so that's why I think this is giving the Cowboys a lot of pause to pay Dak.
So let's bring it all the way back then to where it began. Adam Schefter, where does this leave us the day before deadline?
Well, Dan, all those guys you mentioned did not play to their franchise tag. All those guys that you mentioned basically signed long-term deals. All those guys you mentioned are not exactly in the position that Dak is in at this point in time, where he's got a head coach who's on the sideline for a year, who's coming back all fired up with a chip on his shoulder to prove everybody in Green Bay wrong. He's got a team here that was already stacked on offense with Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper and a developing Michael Gallup that added C.D. Lamb in the first round, and I'm told C.D. Lamb has looked like a stud during the offseason work that he's done with Dak Prescott. You've got an offense that's poised to roll. And no, Dak Prescott may not be a great quarterback, but Kirk Cousins was a good quarterback who's made more money than any other quarterback the last 4 years. And Dak Prescott is probably a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins on that franchise tag in the position he's in. He's in a great spot. He doesn't have to be great. He has to be good, and he can be paid as a great quarterback.
Yeah, sometimes the most valuable thing to be in the NFL is the next quarterback in line to get his money. And, Lewis, I'll take it all the way back to you here. How do you handle this thing now? If you're in the Cowboys front office sitting where you're sitting this minute, how are you handling it?
Yeah, obviously, look, you would love to have some financial certainty on your side as the contract negotiator for the franchise in terms of having a long-term deal. But if it's one of these things where you feel as though look, you have kind of made your best offer. You don't feel as though you want to go any further with it, and you feel as though your next best alternative down the road is something that you can live with, then this is really, these are the cards that you play. Then you'll just go back to the table again next year. Obviously, there is something within the structure and the confines of the Dallas Cowboys that is not making them comfortable enough to go ahead and acquiesce to what Dak wants. There's just something there that they don't feel comfortable with. And that's fine. Look, a lot of this is subjective. There is no hard and fast rules as to what makes you move off of a certain number and what doesn't. A lot of this is just about gut feel. A lot of this is about information inside of that building that we're not privy to as to why they feel as though they don't need to move off of their position. And look, would I want to move off of the position and, you know, give Dak exactly what he wants if I had all the information and thought he is the reason why we haven't been able to move to the next level and really take this organization where we want to go? No, I wouldn't move. I'd say, fine, you want to bet on yourself? We'll bet on ourselves. We'll bet on our evaluation, and we'll renew this. You know, we'll bring this back up in 2021. And that's what it seems like Dallas is trying to do. So, hey, if Dak plays this right, he can maximize a lot of cash to himself, just like Kirk Cousins said, just like Kirk Cousins did, and you alluded to. So that's where we're at. That's what we're going to have to deal with.
Sometimes these deadlines spur actions. You see on your screen exactly how much time there is before the deadline. And we are just getting started with this group with a ton of football to get to as we continue this morning. Coming up on Get Up, there is one quarterback who is under more pressure in 2020 than anyone else in football. It's not Dak. We'll tell you who it is and why as we continue in just a moment. Plus, could it be one and done for Cam in New England? One of our analysts says, yes, it could. He'll tell you why as we continue next. And our Twitter poll for this morning. If a quarterback is not going to win the NFL MVP award this year, which of these electric skill players is it going to be? McCaffrey, Thomas, Elliott, or Tyreek Hill? Go to my Twitter page at ESPN Grainy. Cast your vote. And coming up, I'll tell you why right now everybody has it wrong. Just getting started. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. $1 mini shakes are now at Burger King. News from the NBA. Russell Westbrook announcing yesterday he has tested positive for the coronavirus. The Rockets guard did not travel with the team to Orlando, said he's feeling well, hopes to rejoin the club once he's cleared. In a social media message, Westbrook also said to, quote, please take this virus seriously, be safe, mask up. Let's get the details from our NBA senior writer for The Undefeated, Mark Spears, who was in Orlando covering the restart for us. Mark, what more can you tell us about Westbrook and when he might rejoin the Rockets in Orlando?
Well, first prayers up to him, and he has to clear from isolation first before he flies to Orlando. Once he gets to Orlando, he also has to get 3 negative COVID test before he could actually go on the court and start practicing with his guys. Now he has some time. The Rockets don't play until the 31st against Dallas, so he has some time as well. But James Harden's not here yet. Luke Mbamute, he's not here yet as well. So the Rockets are having a lot of problems right now.
Yeah, and that's to be expected. I'm sure that there will be bumps along the road for all the teams. From what you're hearing from players and coaches you talk to, what are the biggest concerns in the bubble?
Well, you know, Green changes daily, but right now, man, I'm going to go out with takeout gate, man. It's a problem for these boys trying to get takeout. You got 2 dudes that got busted already. Rashawn Holmes from the Sacramento Kings and Bruno Caboclo both left hotel grounds to get takeout and got in trouble and got 8 more days that they had to be in their rooms. I mean, they got Emeralds here, and I love emeralds, but I ain't gonna do that for some cold gumbo and some jambalaya and get 8 extra days. So that's today's problem, guys, messing up, getting takeout, and have to be in their room for an extra 8 days because of it.
Look, these are extraordinary circumstances, and I guess in those, everyone has to be willing to take whatever precautions are possible. I can't believe this is the conversation we're having, but under these circumstances, it makes sense. Before we let you work here, Mark, there is one thing that I feel honored to have the chance to do, because many people have seen you on this show and all over ESPN, Mark Spears. They've seen our buddy Marcus Spears on our show all the time, and I'm sure they've wondered many times, are those guys related? And I'm pleased to tell you the answer is yes, and this is the first time they are appearing on television together. Marcus,
hey,
say hello.
Yes.
Finally, I get on with
what's
Big
Cuz,
man. Absolutely. G, thank you. What's up, man? What's up? I wish I was at the bubble with you. I might lose some
Liberty
weight based
City.
On what you're talking about.
How do you think, Mark, how do you think Marcus
yeah,
would
you
handle
saw these
life
meals, the- man? It's not what we're accustomed to.
Yeah, Mark, how do you think Marcus would handle life in the bubble?
Can you show everybody, both of us side by side, because we get confused all the time. I'm Mark Spears. He's Marcus Spears. I got my master's at LSU. He played football at LSU,
this
and we're both handsome. So they won't get that wrong. But, man, that's I miss you, big fella.
Man, me too, man. Me too. Let's G, what you was asking, man?
I don't even remember. I'm just so enjoying this reunion here. Marcus, which of the two of you is the handsomer
we
one?
Need
I mean,
a show.
Bottom line. Marcus,
we
which of the two
show.
Of you is handsomer?
Oh, I'm definitely the most handsome now. Listen, I love Mark, and we talk quite a bit. And people don't believe it, man. We get the same emails. We get confused on email chains within the company. I get some of his NBA emails. He gets some of my football emails. We get some of each other tweets, Instagram, all of that type of stuff. We can understand how
ties.
People can confuse us.
What'd you say, Mark?
I got ties in the mail for him one time. But I got these green eyes, bruh. Come on, bro. These green eyes push me over the top.
All right. This
but
is a
both,
reunion.
We both handsome, not running the family, though.
Despite the delay, I'm delighted we're able to do it.
Give us a show.
Love it. Love being able to do this, guys. Mark, stay safe down there. We will check in with you regularly as you continue down there in the bubble. Thank you very much.
All right, Cuzzo.
All right. Love you, Cuz.
Let's meanwhile turn our attention to the National Football League. One of the biggest questions heading into the season is Cam Newton's health. His former teammate and new division rival, Jets guard Greg Van Roten, said if Cam is healthy, pairing him with Bill Belichick is a serious problem for the rest of the league. Listen to this.
It's definitely terrifying to think about if Cam Newton's healthy and he's in a Belichick's offense, you know, in my division, it's going to be, could be a long year for the other teams because he's a game changer. He came into the league, you know, he's a league MVP, brought the team to a Super Bowl. He's just built differently than, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, and he's a headache to game plan for.
Hmm. Dan Orlovsky, the word was terrifying. Do you expect Cam Newton on the New England Patriots to be terrifying for defenses?
No, I don't expect them to be terrifying, but they're going to be an improved football team. I think we have to look at Belichick is notorious for using the motto, don't tell me what a player can't do. Tell me what a player can do. And if you've ever heard Bill talk about Cam, it's always about, well, you got to deal with him, right? And so I expect the Patriots to make defenses week after week after week to deal with Cam as a runner. If you, again, Bill Belichick has always referenced Cam Newton as a runner. And so they're going to play to their strengths, which is their offensive line and their run game and their running backs. And Cam is going to be a part of that run game. And they're going to try to cover up a lot of their weaknesses, which is the skill players on the outside. And that's where, to me, it comes down to. When we're talking about the really good teams at the AFC, because at the end of the day, football becomes a one-on-one game. And at some point, teams are going to go, those skill players are not going to beat us on the outside. And that's why I've said the Patriots are more than just a quarterback away. If Tom Brady and Bill Belichick weren't terrifying last year, I don't see how Cam Newton and Bill Belichick are going to be terrifying this year. It's an improved football team, absolutely. But we've seen New England win games with this style of offense that they're going to need to play. And so it's going to look a lot like what Baltimore does with Lamar. Cam is not Lamar right now. Like I said, they're improved, but it's not, to me, this is not a terrifying situation for the AFC.
Lewis, you played for Bill when he was your coach in Cleveland. Do you think that Bill and Cam is a long-term marriage?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I think it can be, but I'm not so sure. I have my doubts. And look, and the reason why I say that is this. Look, given the unique nature of this offseason, obviously Cam hasn't been there all offseason, so he hasn't had the benefit of being in the virtual classroom to really get down some of the new, as much nuance as he possibly can before he gets on the football field. So he's really going to be starting from scratch once they're able to get into training camp, he's able to get on the field. Josh is going to, that being Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, who's truly the most important person here, you know, even more so than Bill. Josh is going to have to get Cam comfortable with what Cam has been used to doing. And a lot of that is going to involve the fact that they're going to utilize Cam's physical athletic ability and his unique size to their advantage in the short term to get him up to speed right away. The question is Cam going to return to the Cam and be even better than the Cam he was before as far as throwing the football? Because if he doesn't eventually at some point in time show that this year, that New England isn't going to want to make this a steady diet as far as just running Cam like a running back. That's not what they want. That's not sustainable for any quarterback, and that wouldn't be a smart move for him. So unless he's able to get the nuance down in this offense as far as throwing the football and being very efficient with it, I could see this being a one-year type of rental.
Interesting. Marcus, what do you expect? Is he the starter week one, and does it turn out well?
Yeah, I expect him to be the starter. I expect it to turn out well. We've lamented about the New England Patriots being able to morph into whatever they need to week in and week out to be a good football team. Josh McDaniels has got to earn his paycheck. He's already been offered head coaching jobs, took a head coaching job, and decided to go back to New England. It's his responsibility to put Cam in a position to be successful. With that being said, Dan Orlovsky talks like a defense, like a guy that's never played defense and had to deal with Cam Newton as far as being terrifying. He is terrifying. I don't give a damn if his shoulder is hurting. When he gets up on that second and third level on your DBs, you might as well have a running back. Cam has more touchdowns than most Hall of Famer quarterbacks before 30. And he's going to run the football. He's not going to morph into something that different where he's not called on to do that offensively. So I think he will be terrifying in this offense.
All right, bookmark that expression on Dan Orlovsky's face. We will get back to it as we continue. We're just getting rolling on Get Up early this morning. Tonight, by the way, on ESPN, it's the winner-take-all championship game of the basketball tournament. Sideline Cancer taking on the Golden Eagles. $1 million to the winners tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, it's the most pressure-packed position in perhaps all of sports. Which QB is under the most pressure in 2020? We've got the answer, and we'll tell you why. Next, Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and let's get up and go. Tiger Woods on the range this morning at Memorial as he gets set to play in his first tournament since the PGA Tour's restart. He'll be paired this weekend with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka for the opening two rounds at Muirfield, so that should be a lot of fun to watch. NHL training camps opening yesterday, league beginning phase three of its restart. The Penguins, however, announced they were voluntarily sidelining 9 players after potentially secondary exposure to an individual who tested positive for COVID-19. Reigning WNBA MVP Elena Deladon's request to opt out of the season due to medical concerns was denied by a panel of independent doctors. Deladon, who has Lyme disease, said she'd been advised by her personal physician that she was high risk for the coronavirus. And the Patriot League becomes the latest Division I conference to officially cancel all fall sports, announcing that decision yesterday. The league said it will decide on the fate of winter and spring sports, including potentially spring football, at a later date. And last week, we saw a trio of conference start to make their decisions on their fall lineups of sports. The Ivy League, in a similar move to the Patriot, canceled all fall sports, while the Big Ten and Pac-12 announced they would play a conference-only schedule for all fall competitions here in 2020. Back to the NFL. According to Bill Barnwell, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the 4th best set of offensive weapons in the National Football League. Again, this does not take into account the quarterback, just the weapons. And for them, it's all about the receiving group. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans both finished with over 1,100 yards last year. The 3rd best group, according to Bill, is Dallas.
Zeke Elliott has led the league in rushing yards per game three of his four seasons. And, of course, the Cowboys added C.D. Lamb in the draft. The Browns have the second best offensive arsenal, including Nick Chubb, who finished with nearly 1,500 rushing yards last season, most by a Browns player since Jim Brown. And, of course, they have Jarvis and Odell. And topping the list is Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes has options in every direction he looks. Travis Kelce at tight end, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins at wide receiver, brand new running back. All sorts of options are there in Kansas City. Other teams of note, again, we're just talking about the offensive weapons, not inclusive of the quarterback. And you see San Francisco, Green Bay is high or lower on this list than you might have expected. They're all the way down there at 19. And my particular interest was in the New York Jets, who are all the way down there near the very bottom. So one looks at this list and one looks particularly at the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, Marcus, I'm thinking back to the conversation that we had with Baker Mayfield when we were at the Super Bowl in Miami. He was on our set. And you were a part of that discussion. And I suppose one would ask the question, if you agree that Baker has at his disposal the second best group of offensive weapons of any quarterback in the entire National Football League, I would ask just how much pressure you think there is on him to perform this season.
All of it, G. And listen, this was a part of that process for Baker Mayfield. What they do, they put you in a great situation with a lot of great players around you. And then this year is Baker's year to say, I can do this or I can't. And that's where we are. When you look at even on their offensive line, you got Treader at center now, you got Conklin, you draft Jedrick Wills from Alabama. Everybody talked about how the offensive line was deficient, and that was the problem. We have made sure that Baker Mayfield has evaded his responsibility in making sure that this offense goes where it needs to go. This year, for all intents and purposes, based on the draft, based on signings in the offseason, and those two guys on the outside, Jarvis Landry and OBJ, this is going to have to be Baker Mayfield's year where he tells the Cleveland Browns organization, I am the guy going forward. Because if not, there is nothing else to point to.
Danny, why the face?
I mean, it's the NFL. Every quarterback has pressure on them. Marcus, did you just say that the Browns put Baker in a good situation? His first 2 years have been a tragically bad situation. So, like, yes,
I'm talking about leading into this year.
There's a pressure, but this is the first year that we can sit here and say that it, with confidence, that it is a good situation. Like, last year there was a massive question mark, and I still think that there is still a question mark with what Stefanski is, and Baker needs to play well. No one is debating that. We all know that Baker needs to value the football better. But he has been set up to fail his first 2 years. Right now, he is just another statistic in the NFL of young quarterbacks that get ruined rather than they get made. But to sit here and say this is a make or break year, or he's got more pressure than anybody in the NFL, I don't agree with. This is his first year
so let me ask you a question.
They finally done well for him. What's your question?
If Baker Mayfield goes out this year and throws another 21 interceptions, what are you going to say at the end of the year?
I'm going to sit here and say I was wrong about Baker and I was wrong about this season. Baker Mayfield will not throw
like you
21
did
interceptions this,
past this
year.
Season.
I did after this past season, yes. Baker Mayfield will not throw 21 interceptions this year. I will bet you $100 Baker less than 10 interceptions this year and more than 25 touchdowns. Marcus, just look at the scheme alone. Look at the scheme alone. The five guys that played in this offense that they're bringing over from Minnesota last year are Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Ryan Tannehill. They won 70% of their games. They complete 66% of their passes. Their passer rating's 99% just in this offense.
Damn.
They threw for 123 touchdowns. He's going to play well.
None of those guys have the weapons that Baker has. Let me get Lewis into the conversation here, Lewis, because I think the two of them are illustrating what is actually the point, which is how do you fairly evaluate Baker Mayfield when he has been, I agree with Dan, in a terrible situation the first 2 years. He's on his fourth head coach, and he hasn't even started his third year yet. So how will you reasonably evaluate him when this season is done?
Yeah, I think context is what really was what we're talking about, and context matters. And look, there are more quarterbacks that get ruined than get made in the NFL by virtue of who they're surrounded by. And this year with Baker, although, look, the shift is already on. It's already happened as far as the Cleveland Browns moving from hope to expectations. They expect them to be better this year. They expect them to be better because of the kinds of personnel that they have on the football field overall, 1 through 53. And with Baker Mayfield, look, he is going to be expected now to go ahead and make a leap, regardless of the fact that you have a first-time head coach, regardless of the fact that Kevin Stefanski does not have Gary Kubiak sitting there as kind of a safety net for him and running and having Gary to kind of absolutely sit there and weigh in on whether or not, you know, certain play calls are the right play calls in certain situations. I understand what Dan is saying as far as this offense having made quarterbacks in the past. But Kevin Stefanski's on an island now. Now it's his show. Baker Mayfield has all the weapons in the world, and I could not argue against the fact that he has one of the best, you know, supporting cast in the NFL. But with that still is coming expectations, and he needs to perform, no question about it. And if he doesn't, there aren't going to be many excuses offered up for him. Simple as that. And I think, you know, fair or not, that's just the way it is in the NFL. And Baker has to deliver this year. There's no question about it.
Yeah, he was the number one pick in the draft, but basically none of the people who made that decision are still involved. All right, guys, stay put. I have much more to do with you, but let me bring Shefty back into the conversation to run the hurry up. Shefty, we're talking about the deadline day. It's also very significant for Derrick Henry. What's the latest?
The Titans and Derrick Henry Greene are not expected to get a long-term deal done, which means that Derrick Henry will play this season on a one-year, $10.278 million tag. He'll become a free agent after this year. Again, difficult to get long-term deals done during the pandemic, especially at a position where it's been difficult enough to get deals done. And so Derrick Henry and the Titans will not be able to reach that long-term deadline by the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl Chiefs, and Chris Jones, who's so important to their defensive line and pass rush, continue talking and trying to get a long-term deal worked out. He's one of the rare franchise players who at least has a chance to get something worked out by the deadline. Both sides are hopeful. I'm told nothing is imminent at this point in time. They're going to have to step up the speed of these negotiations to beat that Wednesday 4 o'clock Eastern deadline for Jones to get the long-term deal that he has sought from Kansas City, much like Dak Prescott, for over the last year. And A.J. Green is not expected to get a deal done with the Cincinnati Bengals by the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline, which means that he would be on the last year of that deal at this particular point in time. Remember, didn't play last year, suffered that foot injury. I think he is healthy now. He should be ready for the season. He's still a major player. I think he's one of the more forgotten great players in the NFL due to the injuries, due to the fact that he's played in Cincinnati, but he could emerge as a big-time target for the number one overall draft pick, Joe Burrow, Greeny.
It's an incredibly important day all around the National Football League. Again, tomorrow, the deadline, not just for Dak, but for all of these players to get new deals done. We'll take a short break. Coming up, if I told you a quarterback is not going to be the MVP this coming season, who would you pick to win it? We'll talk about it, and I will tell you why everybody has it wrong. Next. Back on Get Up, and Game Changers is brought to you by Marines. Every day this week, we're revealing a new member of the 99 Club in Madden NFL 21, and today's honor goes to Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey. Here's Laura with more on the Do Everything running back.
And up the middle, McCaffrey running free. Unbelievable. 30, 35, 40. Can someone drag him down? McCaffrey takes it home!
It takes more than one defender to take this guy down.
Middle crowded, stiff arm takes it to the right, and he leaps and somersaults into the end zone for the touchdown.
He was the only running back in the league last season to pass the 1,000-yard mark in both rushing.
Give it to Christian. Through a hole, McCaffrey in the open field.
And receiving.
Left flat, McCaffrey to the 20, to the 10, spins away, touchdown, Carolina.
He started as a 93 overall in last year's game, but through the season, he displayed superior agility and effectiveness in changing direction.
McCaffrey bursts over right tackle and scores.
Yes, he did.
In week 12, he was upgraded to a 99 overall, where Christian McCaffrey remains in this year's game.
So when I saw that yesterday, it got me to thinking about this. There was a time last year we talked about McCaffrey as an MVP candidate. We talked about Michael Thomas as an MVP candidate. So my poll question this morning on Twitter, at ESPN Greeny, if the MVP is not going to be a quarterback, who you got? And these are the options I put up. McCaffrey, Michael Thomas, Zeke Elliott, Tyreek Hill. Keep casting your vote. We'll reveal what you're thinking a little bit later. But let me ask, my crew here. Where do we begin? Let's start with Orlovsky. If the MVP, and you don't have to go with any of the, it doesn't have to be someone from my poll. If I'm telling you right now the MVP is not going to be a quarterback, who are you telling me it's going to be?
It'll be Christian McCaffrey. Greeny, if you remember last year, about midway through the season, I had Christian McCaffrey as number one in the MVP. He was a 1,000-yard rusher and a 1,000-yard receiver. I think he's going to do it again this year, especially with Joe Brady coming over. And if you look at what he did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year at LSU, 55 catches. So we're going to see McCaffrey get another 80-plus catches, and he's going to get his fair share of carries. Greeny, I think Christian McCaffrey is very similar to what Rob Gronkowski really started to be in the NFL for the Patriots. Teams just have no idea how to play against them. If you put a linebacker out there, whether it's in man or zone, he can wear you out in coverage in space or in a matchup issue. And if you want to put a smaller body out there to cover him, can that guy tackle him? And so I think Christian McCaffrey is just going to be such a focal point for the Carolina Panthers offense, as he already has been. He's only getting to be a better player. And I think the Panthers will be a little bit better than people expect them to be as a team. It'll be Christian McCaffrey if it's not a quarterback.
Marcus, who's the MVP if it's not a quarterback?
McCaffrey. And I mean, Dan just said all of it, but I even think about one step outside of that. Teddy Bridgewater's the quarterback. What do we know Teddy Bridgewater for? Making sure he gets the ball into playmakers' hands and not taking too many chances. Obviously, Joe Brady is there, Matt Rhule, both of these guys employing their own offense. Christian McCaffrey is arguably the best offensive player in the game of football when it comes to outside of the quarterback position, and obviously Patrick Mahomes, and his usage rate is going to be super high, so he had an opportunity. I was teetering on saying Michael Thomas because last year what he did was unbelievable, but if last year doesn't get him the MVP, he's probably not going to win one.
Let me tell you why I disagree with you both, and Christian McCaffrey is running away with my poll before I get Lewis's pick. Hembo and I went over this. There have been 65 players named MVP in the National Football League historically. None of them played for a losing team. 63 of the 65 made the playoffs the year their team was the year they were named MVP. One of those who didn't was Johnny Unitas. His team went 11-1-2 in 1967, and they missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. So unless you guys are telling me the Panthers are going to be other than last in the stacked NFC South, I'm telling you there's a very slim chance that no matter how good the numbers look for McCaffrey, that he's going to be the MVP. Lewis, who do you have?
Yeah, I'm going totally on the other side of the ball. And you know what? And that statistic right there that you brought up as far as being on a winning team and being surrounded by a successful team is important is really what made me change my mind here from Christian McCaffrey. And I'm going with Aaron Donald from the LA Rams. Look, over the past 3 years, Aaron Donald has 44 sacks and 60 tackles for loss as a defensive tackle. The guy who's led in that time frame as far as sacks is Chandler Jones with 49 sacks. If the Rams can get it back together now and really make some noise in the NFC West, and they've changed both offensive and defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, their new defensive coordinator, I can tell you this, Sean McVay loves. And we all see Aaron Donald's workout videos. We all are on Instagram. You see what this man is doing. And we talk about him every year like he is unstoppable. And you want to talk about Madden ratings, you just put 100 across the board on Aaron Donald. 100 speed, 100 competitiveness, 100 agility, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. Okay? So why can't that guy be the MVP?
He could. I actually thought about putting him on the poll yesterday, but I ultimately decided a defensive player is so unlikely. Go ahead, Danny, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, the stat of 65 guys, I mean, that we have to pick a non-quarterback. So I can't imagine there was going to be a lot of quarterbacks that were on losing teams that won the MVP. I mean, so if we're picking a non-quarterback, then yes, there's going to be a huge statistic tied to it. Also, I love Aaron Donald. But Lewis, we know you went to Pitt. And we know Aaron Donald went
there's
to
no
Pitt,
but.
So there's a little bit of
I don't want to hear what else you have to say. I don't care. There's no but.
A little bit of
I don't care what you have to say
there.
After but. As a matter of fact, you know it's proven that when somebody says but, a lot of the stuff that comes after it doesn't mean anything. So when you said but right there, I tuned you out.
Marcus.
I'm not listening.
Marcus, final thought.
I'm going to remember that.
Lou made me look bad because he picked the D lineman and I didn't go on the defense side of the ball. But Lou knows that Aaron Donald ain't winning no MVP.
I'm telling you.
Marcus. See, that's the kind of disrespect I'm talking about. He plays your position. And then look.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
I'm gonna hit your facial expression right now.
We've taken to imitating each other now. I'm enjoying this very much. Let me change the topic here. We'll come back to this as we go. But there was the very important announcement yesterday, as we changed tone completely, in Washington, that they are officially retiring their team nickname after 87 years, practically a founding member of the National Football League. They announced that after completing a thorough review that they are going to change the name. They haven't announced yet what it is going to be. They're expected to do that soon. The team is reportedly working through trademark issues before announcing the new name. And Lewis, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. You spent many years working in the front office there in Washington, so we just wanted to give you a moment to react here. What did you think of the news yesterday?
Yeah, really, it's not really news to me. To have an announcement that says you still have an announcement yet to make over, you know, this thorough review that you're going through, and then continuously using the name that you're trying to do away with in that announcement, it just reeks of the lack of awareness and the lack of attention to detail that really has led them to this point. And I think, you know, really, you know, the amount of scrutiny that this organization is going to be under in the near future, I think, is only just beginning. And this is part of it. And this is where I think right now, you know, in the front office and at the highest executive levels of the organization, they really need to make sure that they streamline, you know, their hierarchy and have people in positions that can handle these types of things and make sure that they are putting their best foot forward as far as how they want us, the media, to talk about them. Because right now, they don't really have that kind of hierarchy. They don't have those people in place. They got rid of people who are really in charge of doing those types of things. And right now, it just seems like they're flying by the seat of their pants and they're like a rudderless ship, because Ron Rivera is being put out there to really talk about all these things, whereas before it was Bruce Allen, the guy who used to be the general counsel there. Eric Schaefer is not there anymore. So all the people who would really be adept at handling these kind of issues are not there. And that's why right now it seems like every time they make an announcement, this gives us a lot of things to just really dig our teeth into and go, man, this just seems like an organization that's always playing catch up. And they need to catch up, because right now they're just taking a beating.
Well said. Yeah, Ron Rivera's got a lot of things to worry about, primarily coaching the football team. Lewis, thank you for that. We'll take a short break here and remind you that we are on with you till 9 Eastern this morning. And we're followed today by MLS tournament action, continuing the defending champion Seattle Sounders taking on the Chicago Fire. That's this morning, 9 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Means we have a huge hour coming up between now and then. Coming up, it's not the news Cowboy fans wanted to hear. Why aren't they talking to Dak? Shefty has the latest next.